And now, let's go over to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. This outpouring that's for everybody, it appears that it's true because people all through the ages are receiving the promise of the Father. Paul in Ephesus, many years after the Samaritan story and the Caesarea story, here Paul is in Ephesus many years later, and he meets up with some disciples, some believers in God. And he asks them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You see, the book of Acts had not been written at that time. Aren't you glad that Luke wrote this book? Aren't you glad that he wrote to his friend Theophilus? And aren't you glad that Theophilus didn't keep it all to himself, that he was willing to share it with the rest of the church? And Paul asked them, "Then what were you baptized unto?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And then Paul took them and baptized them in the name of Jesus. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit then. It was only after they had been baptized that Paul, not Peter, not another disciple, it was Paul that laid hands on these men, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with other tongues and prophesied. How does Paul know that they received the Holy Ghost? They could have said, "Brother Paul, you don't have to lay hands on us. When we got baptized, we received the Holy Ghost." But apparently that's not the way it happened. The Bible says, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. You see, my friend, you don't have to have an apostle or preacher or deacon to lay hands on you or baptize you in water in order for you to receive the gift. I like that. Peter called it the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have someone else baptize you in water or lay hands on you for you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the work of Jesus. It was Peter in the second chapter of the book of Acts that told his listeners that it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one whom you have crucified. It is Jesus that has shown all of this abroad, which you see and hear. It was Peter who also told them that what you see and hear is for you also. It's for your children. It's for as many as the Lord our God should call. This is the words that God spoke through the pen of Luke. So it is written, and so I believe it. It is written that this is for you and your children, and as many as the Lord God should call. It is written, and I believe it. It has been throughout the entire history of the Christian church. There's never been a day or an hour. There's never been a time or season. There's never been an era or decade since the day of Pentecost when there were not Holy Ghost-filled saints speaking in tongues and prophesying. And this Holy Spirit is still active in the body of Christ today. It's still active in our local church. If you'll turn to the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find a pattern of how the Holy Spirit ministers in the local church. Have you ever wondered what kind of a church they had in the early days of the apostles? Did they build big, tall buildings with a cross on the top like is so prevalent today? Did they have big auditoriums which would seat hundreds and hundreds of people? I don't think so. I believe that most of their gathering places was in a person's house, like the upper room in which Jesus and his disciples had the Last Supper, or like the upper room where the 120 received the infilling of the Holy Ghost at the beginning. Some of these more wealthier Jews would have an upper chamber at their home where they conducted weddings and funerals and great gatherings of family. These rooms were used in Paul's day for church meeting. You remember when Paul preached way into the night, and one young man was sitting in the window of the upper room and fell to the ground and it killed him. And Paul prayed for him and he was alive and lifted him up. You recall that story. Paul was preaching in an upper room. So what did the early church do when they were all gathered together? According to the scriptures, they sang songs and hymns. They taught the word of God. They taught doctrine. They exhorted. They preached. They read scripture. They prayed. They had business reports. They had water baptisms. They sent out missionaries throughout the region. They took up collections for the saints. They settled disputes and differences among the group. They had confessions. They confessed their faults one to another. They added new members to the church. They dealt with persons who were preaching heresy. They prophesied. They spoke in tongues and they interpreted. They washed the saints' feet. They exercised other gifts of the Spirit, such as healing and miracles and the gifts of helps. All of this is the pattern of things that happen in the church. Everywhere that Paul preached, they did the same thing. Do you think that Paul only preached this message to the Corinthians? Any church that Paul went to, he preached the same thing. He didn't have one message for Corinth, another for Ephesus, and another for the Thessalonian church. In fact, he told the Thessalonians, "Despise not prophesying." That word despise means to disregard as worthless or distasteful. Prophesying is tasteful. Prophesying has worth to it. In fact, Paul says, when you prophesy, you're edifying the people. You're helping the church of the living God. Paul said something else to the church I would like to remind you of. Paul says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, but in understanding be men." It is written in the law, Paul says. Paul is telling these people that it is written, "With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that will they not hear me." Isaiah tells us, "In hearing they will not hear, and seeing they will not perceive. Whom shall God teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk." Paul says, "Brethren, I have not fed you with meat. I have fed you with milk because you were not able to stand strong meat." Well, I'm bringing this lesson to a conclusion. For the last 3-4 days, I have shown you the pattern of the Spirit-filled believers in the book of Acts. I have also shown you the pattern of the Holy Spirit's working in the local church, according to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. These were words written by Paul to the Corinthian church. And what Paul wrote to one church, he preached to all the churches. The doctrines that he set in order in one church, he preached and practiced in every church. This is the pattern of a New Testament church.